We're going to turn to the Word of God, and we're looking in the Gospel of John and chapter 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. We're continuing this brief look at the great I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. These great statements of who the Lord Jesus is, who he essentially is. Declaring not just his perfect humanity, but he is indeed the God-man. He is I Am that I Am. He is God Almighty. He is the indescribable God. He is the I Am that I Am that exists in and of himself, that so much as so that he cannot truly be explained. And so he explained, so he introduces himself to Moses at the bush that burned that was not consumed, and he says, I am that I am. Indescribably, incomprehensibly, God. And so, of course, indescribably, incomprehensibly made man. And this is the one who was among these people. And he said to them in these words, and they knew exactly what he meant when he prefaced these statements, I am. I am. In John chapter 10, we read these words. Most assuredly, the Lord Jesus says such statements because he is saying, pay attention to these words. These are absolute. Most assuredly. In other places he says, hearken. Truly pay attention. Listen. Sit up. Listen. Wake up. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. How could they? He would say a little later on in John chapter 10, you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. Not you can't become one of my sheep because you don't believe. My sheep already exist. They're lost, but they hear my voice, and they will hear my voice. At the appointed time, they will hear my voice. But because you are not my sheep, you will never hear my voice, you will never know my voice, and you will never believe. That's not the gospel we hear proclaimed in the majority of evangelical churches today. The gospel we hear in the majority of professing evangelical churches, I'm not talking about the falsehood of Rome, I'm not talking about the falsehood of much of high Anglicanism and of liberalism and of Methodism and of the falsehood of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement. I'm talking about that which claims to be solid gospel. solid gospel truth. They preach a kind of hybrid that is a goat and suddenly turns into a sheep. I said before and I'll say again, go into the countryside in any country in the world and you find me, stand long enough and find a goat that turns into a sheep, and I will believe this other gospel. It won't happen. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly. This isn't for changing. This isn't up for negotiation. This isn't up for argument. Most assuredly. I speak with authority, he's saying. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You may not have believed this gospel. You may not have truly known this gospel. That's because all the gospels you heard before are thieves and robbers. But if you belong to God, if you are chosen in Christ, if you are the object of his eternal grace, you will hear Jesus. You will enter in. It doesn't matter how much falsehood comes your way, you won't hear the voice of strangers eventually. I don't wish to embarrass anyone, but I know there's one sitting here this morning who can testify gloriously to that. Am I right? And everyone who is called of God testifies to that. We have followed in a false way, in whichever way we followed, and we will be turned back from it when we hear the Master's voice, if we belong to him. The title of this message today, as I do not pretend to plough the depths of this great statement of the Lord Jesus in verse 9, the title of this message is One Way of Entrance. One entrance. One entrance. When you think of gaining any kind of access, any kind of entrance to a building as a guest, and I emphasize the word guest, okay? Truly invited in. When you think of gaining access to a building as a guest, you would not sneak in the back door, would you? No guest sneaks in the back door or is beckoned in by the host in the back door because they've been invited in and they are not ashamed to let them in the front door. In fact, the only time people enter in somewhere out of view, secretly, is if they have something to hide. That's usually the reason why people come in sneaking in the back way. They have something to hide. And so many people try to sneak in to the kingdom of God. You can't do it. You won't even find access to the kingdom of God. Sneaking in, hiding your sin, being not up front before God. You cannot sneak in. You cannot drift into the kingdom of God. As so many people have a so-called testimony and they say, I don't know. I just always knew I was a believer. Poppycock. Absolute untruth. Lies. And they know they're lying. You can't sneak in. God is not ashamed indeed of his people. In this world, people sneak in secretly if they have something to hide, or they are not welcome indeed. And who are the people who are not welcome most of all that we hear of that try and get in by a window quietly out of the way by a back door? They're thieves, aren't they? They're robbers. They're seeking to break into a house to steal without being noticed. The Lord Jesus gave that illustration, did he not, in that parable? That yes, there's a field and the man sows good seed, but the enemy came and sowed tares. And he said, yes, let them grow up together until the end of the age. But there are found amongst the people of God, there will be found in every age amongst the people of God, tares. They've snuck in, but they haven't come in by the door. Are you in the kingdom? Have you come in by the door? There's only one way of entrance into the kingdom of God, you see. I don't know whether you have heard of this, but the Lord Jesus taught this clearly. Most assuredly he taught this. Most assuredly he taught that. That there is only one way of entrance into his salvation. And that's his way. It's his salvation. God is salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the way of entrance belongs to the Lord. Those who will seek to come, and if you, even today, seek to come any way other than the way he commanded, you are no better than a thief. And you will not be granted access. You may think you are in, but you will not be granted that pasture that speaks of eternal life. Now today we see this great statement from the Son of God declaring his deity, as I said, that he is Almighty God, Almighty to save, and his salvation is for him alone to grant. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. That's what a sheep wants. Pasture. Pasture. That's where the shepherd leads the sheep. To pasture. Pasture speaks of so many things. So what is the Lord Jesus saying here? Well, firstly, see that when he calls himself the door, he is not speaking, of course, of an actual door. He's not speaking of a physical door. Nor is this illustration, nor is this wondrous illustration, the example of a door as we would think one to be. He's not talking of a door like we came through this morning into this building. That is clearly not his words here. He is giving this example to us who he is from the picture of the place where sheep would have been gathered into a sheepfold, the way they went in to that sheepfold. This is the whole context of the passage in which he speaks. The whole illustration is of sheep, his sheep, entering into the sheepfold by him, who is the shepherd, but who also is the door. This is clear from the previous words in this chapter 10. And what the Lord says a little later, calling himself the good shepherd of the sheep, of which we will look, God willing, at next week. Meaning, his people, called by his grace, called to believe on him, called to believe on him for salvation and eternal life, have entered in by him into this eternal life. Not by a faith that they have, but through faith, given them the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Called to believe on him nonetheless. And a shepherd would lead the sheep. Those who heard him speak would understand these words clearly. A shepherd would lead the sheep into this place of safety. Generally, at the end of the day, they would gather their sheep into this sheepfold, into this place of safety, where there was only one way of entrance. If you see a picture of a sheepfold, you will see there's only one doorway to a sheepfold. One doorway. There's nothing round the back, only the front. There's no sneaking into a sheepfold. You must come in through the entrance. The sheep can't climb over. And anyway, if you see sheep, you'll see they're not clever enough anyway to climb over that wall. They must come in through the entrance. And if you watch sheep, you will see they are corralled into a sheepfold. At times, they are gently, lovingly, yet at times, forcibly led into that sheepfold. And you know, you cannot enter into salvation unless Christ come lovingly, gently nonetheless, but yet nonetheless, he must force his way into your heart. And as the scripture says, you must be made willing in the day of his power. If this does not take place, power, this willing that only he can force upon you, that he can bend your will to his will, you cannot enter in. You won't enter in. Because indeed, you will be shown to be not one of the sheep. Because the sheep always heed the voice of the shepherd, sooner or later. They could flee all over the place. But the shepherd will call them, and he calls them back. We just read the parable of the lost sheep. As we saw before, that those 99 are not talking about sheep. Those 99 are goats. He leaves them in the wilderness. He never leaves his sheep in the wilderness. He goes and finds that one sheep. And the gospel is proclaimed wherever it's proclaimed today and here. And if it be just for that one sheep, the Lord Jesus speaks his gospel today. And that one sheep hear his voice and they repent. There is great rejoicing amongst the angels of God over one sheep, one sinner who repents. Are you that one sheep? And so the shepherd leads graciously, gently, and forcibly at the same time into the sheepfold. This statement, "I am the door," is very closely linked, as we said, with what Jesus said in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd, what does he do? giveth his life for the sheep. He goes on to say, no one takes it from me. No one takes it from me. I have power both to lay it down and to take it again. To take it again. This is all wonderfully given from this illustration of a shepherd and the door. You who come to God through Christ Jesus, believing on the redeeming sacrifice of the Son of God at the cross, have already received eternal life. Do you know that? You cannot believe. You cannot believe. You cannot receive forgiveness of sin unless you have life. That which is dead cannot do anything. You've got to be raised from the dead to do something. A corpse cannot get up and walk. And the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, hear my words, verily, verily, in John 5:24. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, have everlasting life. You've got it already. Because if you didn't have everlasting life, you couldn't believe. Because salvation belongeth to the Lord. You have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because is passed from death unto life. You must be born again, the Saviour told Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he doesn't say he cannot enter. He can't even see the kingdom of God. You're blind. The Lord Jesus says here, my sheep hear my voice. They enter into the sheepfold. They enter in by me. No one ever questions why a child born to a certain parent just knows their voice. Just naturally knows their voice. Have you wondered why an infant knows their mother or their father's voice? Just like that. I pick it up. Just like that. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you know the voice of the Saviour. Oh, well, it made it happen so, 'twas thy grace this much I know. Taught me to be as I know, at liberty. That is why you believe, because you pass from death to life. And then you enter in to this wondrous, wondrous, pleasurous, peaceful rest in the pasture. For secondly, see what the Lord's people, likened to sheep, find through Christ Jesus the door. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture. Pasture is speaking here of great satisfaction. Oh, faith does not disappoint. Are you disappointed in Christ? I would tell you, you don't know Christ. Faith disappoints not. Shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There's a reason why the psalmist says those words. How true for those who come to know this Saviour, Jesus Christ, there are given to such all, not part. Not held back. Nothing held back. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. What pasture? What want? None. None. Want for no good thing. The psalmist says, does he not, in Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down in pastures. Have you ever wondered why the sheep lie down in the pasture? Why do they lie down in the pasture? They've gone in and out and found pasture. Why do they lie down in the green pastures? You see, only when a sheep is at peace, no fear. No fear. A sheep is a very timid animal. A sheep is a very fearful animal of enemies and predators. Suspicious animal. Only when a sheep is at peace and will they know no fear do they lie down in the pasture. Satisfied. At peace. At peace. Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? Do you know the peace of God that passes all understanding? That's this green pasture. That's the pasture that the people of God know. To be at peace with God. To have no fear. Because perfect love casteth out all fear. Do you know this? Do you know this peace? This peace to know that you have passed from condemnation. And so too, the ones caused to enter into this salvation through Christ Jesus are at perfect liberty. Sinai's law weighs not heavy on their back. Just ask Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. Lifted off the back. The burden. Woe is me. It's gone. It's gone. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. Perfect liberty. The gospel is indeed called that. The only law you find in the gospel of Christ is this. The perfect law of liberty. Liberty. I was saying to the kids at the youth club on Friday night, from this illustration of how I heard the remembrance of this story of the Birmingham Six. Have you ever heard of the Birmingham Six? They were falsely accused. They were, as we would say in everyday language, which is really what happened, they were fitted up for an IRA bombing in the 1970s. And they spent 16 years falsely accused, falsely convicted, under false evidence. And even evidence that there was there that proved their innocence was ignored. And they spent 16 years, their liberty taken away. And they were talking to one of the survivors of the Birmingham Six and a couple of the kids of these men, and even on the panel also was one who actually was as years went by, as he grew to know more about this evidence, one of these MPs who stood up for them and campaigned for them. And there was also a man whose sister was killed in that atrocity. And This man who was at the forefront, he was more the spokesman of this Birmingham Six. He said, after the euphoria of their release died down, he said he's never been free. He's had trauma all his life. He still can't cope. And the daughter of one of the six said that her late father, that he, when he spoke of his incarceration, far from speaking in the sense of being pleased to be free, because he was so used to being in prison, he almost spoke fondly of the days of being in prison. Because he couldn't cope. He couldn't cope with the liberty. It so affected him. Oh, that is not the case with the child of God. We don't look to be burdened. We don't desire to be under the legalism of law again and to be under bondage again. We enjoy the liberty of Christ. He is all satisfaction to us. We have peace with God. What more do we want? It passes all understanding. We pass from death to life. We're not under condemnation if we are walking in the Spirit. Thirdly, you cannot enter into salvation through Christ Jesus without, and listen carefully, you cannot enter into salvation through Christ Jesus without Him coming to you first. He is not pretty pleased knocking at your heart gently and asking, please let me in. Won't do that. He won't do that. He must come to you first. If he come not to you, you will never come to him. He alone can permit you to receive this salvation. He alone permits entrance into that sheepfold. The doorway is barred to you unless he open it to you. You don't open up to Jesus. He opens up the way of salvation to his people. And they go in gladly. See the example of the front door of the Prime Minister of England's home for the time when he's in power, in Downing Street, number 10. This door is famous, is it not? It's famous for one thing. It's famous for this. It has no handle. It has no handle on the outside. It has no way of opening on the outside. If you look, if you see the news, you see anyone going in and out when they're doing reports outside. There's always someone, there's always work going on there, people going in and out. You see people knock on the door. Even a police officer knocks on the door and they're let in. You must be let in first, you see. You can't force your way into the kingdom. He must come to you and open up to you. And so Christ alone, by his Spirit, giving you life, only him can give you access. Think back to Noah and the ark which is typical of Christ. When the time was arrived for Noah and his family to go into the ark, what happened? The door was opened. And God said, come in. Come into the ark. And who closed the door? Not Noah. God closed the door. And God indeed, Christ Jesus, is him who opens a door that no man can shut. And he closes doors that no man can open. And he is the only way of entrance. This door the Lord Jesus likens himself to is not easy to enter in by, you see. He says elsewhere in Matthew 7, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There are many gospels, there are many religions, there's many Jesuses that are proclaimed today, and they make the way wide and easy and tantalizing to you, They lead to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The majority go in the wide way, the easy way. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. What, living a religious life, saying the right things, quoting parrot fashion the doctrine and the word of God, and when the preacher quotes the word of God, you quote it with him as he's saying it. No, that's not the narrow way. That's not the narrow way. That's part of the broad way as well. If it has no life, if you have not entered into life, that does you no good either. You know better knowing all the word of God, having a love for the things of God, having a love for the things of the Christian religion. You're no better than an infidel. You're no better than the worst debauched sinner on this earth. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh. The message of the gospel is a narrow message. The message of the gospel is an unpopular message. The true gospel. For who are the few who find this way of life? Who are they? It's a question that must be asked. Jesus has said there's few that find it. So we must ask the question, who are the few who find this way to eternal life? Only such as the Lord Jesus opens up the way to. Romans 8 calls them the called according to his purpose. The word of God says, which he purposed in himself, who worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. Who are the people? They are those in the purpose, not plural, the purpose. God only has one purpose. It's the salvation of his elect. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Everything else is subservient to that. Everything. Even the lives of the non-elect. Everything is subservient to God's perfect purpose to save his people from their sins. Chosen in him from the foundation of the world. They are the few. They're the few. Now the few are still a great multitude, the Bible tells us. Out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. We don't know their number. So we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. We preach the gospel that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Because we do not know who the elect are. We do not know who God's people are. Known unto the Lord are them who are his. But we cannot offer or say God desires each and every one to be saved. He doesn't. And when he says he desires that all men come to the knowledge of the truth, he's talking about, if you read in context from what the Apostle Peter says, he's talking about those of every rank and from every walk of life. From among the nations, he has a people for himself. They're the few who find this way. To say any other explanation to this is to make God a liar, is to make God a failure saviour. My God does not fail. What does your God do? By me, Jesus says. That has many means. By me. Coming to me and coming to me by me. And no man cometh to me unless the Father which sent me draw of him. Can't do it. Jesus said, if any enter in by faith, such as come to him, they are assured, though, assured of eternal life. I will in no wise cast out. What, do you have to do something? No. The wondrous message of the gospel is, believe. Believe. Believe on the Son of God. Believe in all that he is. Believe in him. Believe that he is the great redemption of your sin. You will only believe that if you hear his voice. And fourthly, God will not permit any other way of entrance into his holy presence anyway. He will not permit any entrance into his presence, and will in no means give eternal life to anyone seeking any way that is not the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't just come in believing in, we come by him, the person of the Son. We come by him who is the door. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other name that will ever be given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other door. There's loads of doors open, but they're leading to destruction. Have you entered in this door? Have you known this door revealed to you? I'll tell you, you go down the street and you see houses. There's a place, in fact, in the UK, in Scotland, I think the place is called Tobermory. And famously, the houses are painted bright colours. Different coloured houses and different coloured doors. And you see some houses, people, especially where there used to be a housing estate, where they all had the same coloured door once. And once they bought their house, a lot of the residents have decided to make their houses a little bit more personalised. You know, with own different coloured door to identify their place from the rest of the places. If you were to use the illustration of a house, I would guarantee you, the way of entrance to salvation, to eternal life, would not be the brightly coloured door. You won't be attracted to it naturally. It will be the one that indeed no one naturally desires. Just read Isaiah 53. Just read it. We have no desire for Christ naturally. But if the arm of the Lord be revealed to you, as Isaiah says, then you will believe his report. Then you will wondrously see that which is despised by the world, Christ who is despised by the world, the door who is in no wise liked by the world, Christ and him crucified is a glorious entrance of life to you. For beyond that which the world despises is a paradise of pasture. And everything else that promises you so much, that is of your works and of your deeds and is of what you do, is nothing but utter desolation beyond that door and disappointment. Which way will you know? I don't know. But I've laid before you the door, who is Christ. Only he can truly reveal himself to you. For the one who gives eternal life, gives it, grants it. It's a gift, you see. Don't lose sight of those words in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. It's a gift. It's not a right. But yet, wondrously, the people of God are heirs of salvation. In Christ, they are made acceptable in the Son, and actually it is given to them as of right, wondrously. Because they are chosen in Him. The one who gives eternal life and pardon for sin gives it only to those He laid down His life a ransom for. We can change this all we like. We can say it whatever we like otherwise. But it will not change this. It will not change this. There is no hypothetical atonement. There is no hypothetical what if and gospel. Christ came into the world to save His people from their sins. And He has. And they will be brought to know it. They will be brought to see that He is that way of entrance into life eternal. He gives it only to those He laid down His life a ransom for. That's what He taught. And as we saw last time, the Lord Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except through Him. He's the only way into the presence of Almighty God. To have eternal life. As we saw before, that is the explanation, if you like, the Lord Jesus gives of what eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. That's all you need. Not to know about Him, to know Him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the door? Have you entered in? Trust Christ now for the forgiveness of your sin, and know you have entered the only door of life eternal. If you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. The Lord Jesus alone, the shepherd, and the door is He who must open up the way to salvation to you. If He open it up to you now, if He come graciously to your heart now and make His throne on your heart, He wins you over by His love. When you hear those words apply to your heart, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Is that you? Is that your testimony? The Lord Jesus, the shepherd and the door, He must open it up to you. He must open up the way. The door to life eternal solely comes from, is granted and opened up by the sovereign Almighty God. No one else can do it. All others are thieves and robbers. All preachers are thieves and robbers who speak of anything else. The Lord Jesus has opened up this way though. He has opened up the way to God for His elect. We are told by His sacrificial, substitutionary death at the cross, bearing His people's sins in His own body on the tree. He's opened up the way. It's open. It's open to His people. They will go in. Have you gone in? Will you be caused to go in? If you have gone in, you know you have gone in. Because you found pasture. You found peace with God. You know you have passed from death to life. You know that you have no condemnation hanging over you now. All fear is gone. We see to close Hebrews 10 verses 16 to 22, quoting that great promise in Jeremiah 31 of a new covenant in the blood of Christ that gives to the elect, called of God, called to trust His Son, that gives perfect, complete access to God, saying in these words, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. I won't put the Ten Commandments up on the wall. Oh yes, the people of God will sin because we have a new nature and an old nature. The old nature, the man of sin, continues to sin. Nothing but sin. And wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But there's a desire in the heart now. And that desire is going nowhere. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the love of Christ constrains you. Constrains you. You know what sin is. You know when you have sinned. And you know, and you grieve at sin. That's what this is saying. Following after law is self-righteousness. The law placed on the heart at new birth says, I am all unrighteousness. And continually trusts the righteousness of Christ. This is the law that, this is the command, the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. No more. The sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins that we grieve at so often that we know we will commit in the future. They are remembered no more. They're under the blood, you see. They're under the blood of Christ. I'll remember them no more. Now, where there is remission, where there is forgiveness, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us hope to draw to God, let us attempt to draw to God, let us say, well, I'm getting there, this man here, this woman there, they're godly, no such person is godly, and I'm not at their level. Does it say that? No, it says, let us draw near. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Can you draw near to God? Have you been brought near by the blood? Are you the called according to his purpose? Have you heard his voice by faith? Are you in that new and living way? Have you been brought by faith through the door? I would please caution you. Be careful if you say amen at the end. Be careful. Amen says, amen means, it is so. It is so, and let it be so. But if you can say amen, you say as loud as you want.